Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. I'd like to say this morning that it is imperative that the believing community understand that the church is a called-out group of persons who belong to Christ. The Greek word ekklesia, the prefix ek means out of, and klesia means assembly, so hence called out assembly. This group of individuals, according to Romans chapter 8, have already been glorified, but that is in the mind of God, and that passage speaks the completion of the divine prerogative through Christ Jesus. But here and now, we see the process. We are a part of this process that is going on. God is bringing many daughters and sons to glory in Christ Jesus. Let me say once again, 13 letters of Paul. The prepositional phrase in Christ is used approximately 148 times. This phrase in Christ, or in the Greek, en, and then Christos, in Christ. En is a preposition of rest in the New Testament, and it means within the sphere of Christ, we have rest, we have cessation, and so it is the center of Pauline theology. What God has done for us, what God has done on our behalf. God has called us out of the cosmos, from which we get our word cosmetics. The cosmos is adorned, it means adornment, and this cosmos is outwardly adorned in order to seduce people of God and the children of God away from concentrating upon the person of Christ. And so it appeals to the flesh to move the people of God away from seeking their inheritance in Christ. Please read the book of Hebrews about our inheritance in Him. We are joint heirs together with Christ, and so we. And the Bible also says we are co-heirs with Him, joint heirs, co-heirs. Paul uses different prefixes in some of his words in order to attempt to bring out this explosive and powerful new identity that believing ones have in Christ. And Paul also says that we are members one of another, therefore put away lying, because we are members one of another. We are members one of another. We are the body of Christ. We have come to learn that each cell within the human body has neurologic material. And so subtle changes in one's consciousness, traumatic changes in one's consciousness, all the mental changes, the cognitive behavior that we experience is experienced throughout our being, throughout our bodies. And so within the spiritual sphere, We are members one of another. We belong to one another. And so we have 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. We are to minister to one another in love. We are to follow the principles of doctrine. This is how one achieves a sound heart or a healthy heart. There are numerous studies about the correlation between one's spiritual health and one's physical health. Numerous studies. There are numerous studies that talk about what anger does to the body. Anger is spiritual, but yet it has physical manifestations. Hostility, bitterness. These are attitudes of the spirit that have physical manifestations. We know that coronary artery disease is linked to anger, hostility, bitterness, resentment. So it is essential to understand why God has left us his graphe, that is, his word, the writings, so that we might prosper spiritually. We are to be rooted in the word of God. We are to be grounded in the word of God. Then we are to grow. We are to grow up into him in all things. He is the yardstick, not another believer. Christ himself is the prototype. And we are to grow up into him in all things. So, how does God achieve this? How does God get us to grow up? And how does God take out of our souls the attraction, the seduction of the world? Because that is what the world wants to do, wants to seduce us away from Christ. Because we belong to him, and we are in Christ. We are baptized into Christ, the head, and we are baptized into the body of Christ. And Jesus said, no one can snatch us away from God. We can't be snatched away. And so because of that doctrine, then the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil approach us in different ways. The world, the cosmos, approaches us in a particular manner. The flesh, the sarks. Please read Galatians chapter 5, and please read Paul's letter to the Romans about the flesh or the sarks and the devil. The term devil from the Greek diabolos means one who divides for no reason. One who divides people for no reason. Believers can become icy and alienated from other believers or from one another for no particular reason. We do not understand what the devil has done and what he can do. His power is underestimated, which is unfortunate. In Galatians 6, we are told to put on the armor of God. We are to put on the helmet of salvation in order to protect our thought life, our attitudes, from the fiery missiles of the diabolos. And the capstone of the armor of God, it is not the believer's armor. We don't put on the believer's armor. We put on the armor of God. The Greek tenses tells us that we are to put on the armor of God and never take it off. Because if we do not keep on the armor of God, then we cannot stand. And the capstone of the believer's armor is prayer. Prayer. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So please read Ephesians chapter 6 also. Now, I've been teaching in my local church, temptation, Erasmus in the Greek, and also the other word that Paul uses for castaway, dokimios. So how does God grow us up in the devil's world? You and I have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we are to render to unto God the sacrifice of praise with our lips. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Notice, we were dead in trespasses and sin. It is important that people of God are taught the word of God. They need to hear deeply down into their souls the word of God. Ezekiel was called to eat, akel in Hebrew. He was called to eat the word of God, eat this scroll. He was to masticate. He was to allow the word of God to metabolize in order to build him up spiritually. Spiritual nutrition. The word of God is spiritual nutrition. Psalm 1, we're to meditate upon this word. Also, in Joshua chapter 1, the book of Joshua is very interesting because in Hebrew, it is Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Christ, or Christos. And so Joshua, or Yeshua, is a type of Christ Jesus. So Yeshua, or Joshua, is called to meditate upon this word, because then he would have great success in his endeavors, in his divinely given undertaking. The word of God takes the junk out of our souls, takes the junk out of our lives, junky thoughts, junky attitudes, negativism, subtleties of self-hate, subtleties of self-reproach, subtleties of why should I try because I can never get to that level, or I would never be able to achieve that, or I can't do that. All roads. I can do all things, Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Because what empowers me or strengthens me? Christ empowers us to see ourselves anew. We have, according to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, within us the resurrection power of Christ. Think about that. The resurrection power of Christ, that power that brought Jesus back from the grave, is operating in our lives. It doesn't mean we jump around, hop around, scream. It means that we're empowered within, live differently. The word of God changes our neocortex. It changes our brain. Where God changes our nervous system. It really does. The Word of God even raises our IQ points. The Word of God is complete. And so we need to partake of this complete spiritual nutrition on a daily basis. And we need to pray. We need to be in constant communion with God. We grow up, we are empowered, we are protected within what one brother calls the divine dynasty. Power of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. We are empowered to grow up into Him in all things. Now, in order to sharpen us, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance or face of his friend. God empowers us. He sharpens us through divine discipline. He grows us up through divine discipline. And so I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. And it is in the Greek, it is indeed the word, the word is sons, phileos, not children. I'm glad he didn't use the term nepios because that would mean babies. Pais, P-A-I-S, is a Greek word for children. He doesn't use pais. Here, he uses phileos, sons. And then he goes on, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. This is a quotation from Proverbs 3:11. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. What son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? They verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we, purpose clause, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, that is, after the chastening, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, unto them which are exercised thereby. So this is a very powerful passage for believing ones to understand. Now, in verse 12, the writer states, and you have forgotten. Now, I didn't give the name of a particular writer, such as something that the writer of this exhortation or this sermon was Apollos. Other things, it may have been Paul, even maybe Timothy. We don't know. The writer did not give his name. But he states, and ye have forgotten the exhortation to speak unto you as unto children. This is why it is imperative to stay in doctrine, to stay in the Word of God. Because what we do not use, we lose. And this is a highly perishable skill. And so because of that, we stay in the Word of God. One cannot be 2 days without the Word of God. One cannot be 3 days without the Word of God. Both. Many things happen in life, and you find that if you go to a journey about the Word of God, things begin to happen in your life that you thought you had mastered or overcome, but then old stuff comes back. So the Word of God strengthens, dissolves, it recreates focus, and you can get back to the Word. You have a renewed understanding of purpose, sense of purpose and who you are. So therefore, do not go without the Word. Because if you do, the sarks will take over the flesh. And you don't want that. You don't want ever to do that because it's disastrous. And Paul writes in his letter to the Romans that we are to make no provisions for the flesh. We are not to make plans to satisfy the restless and insatiable desires of the flesh. Because it creates misery. The flesh will make you miserable. You may fulfill some of the things you thought you wanted, the flesh will steal your joy, will steal your peace, will steal your resolve, will give you a guilty conscience. So as a result, one becomes miserable. So let me go on. And you have forgotten. Now, here he uses a perfect middle participle. Well, they had really let go of the Word of God. And so he uses a middle voice, and then he uses the indicative, which means a statement of fact. So they had left the Word of God. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. So this word exhortation is a translation of the Greek word paraklesios. Paraklesios. So, and this word means the act of calling toward or hither to help. It means begging. And it also means encouragement toward virtue. Now, the entire scripture is a paraklesis. That is an exhortation or encouragement for the purpose of strengthening and establishing the believer's possession of redemption. So take a look at Romans 15:4, Philippians 2:1, Hebrews 12:5, and also Hebrews 13:22. For the purpose of which is to strengthen faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Paul also called his preaching of the gospel paraklesis. 2 Corinthians 8:4-17 and 1 Thessalonians 2:2. In Luke 6:24, the term is used to designate the comfort in heaven, which is to be denied to the selfish rich believers who prefer to have their physical comforts in earth to be met to the detriment of the work of Christ. Now, in Luke 2:25, Yeshua HaMashiach, that is Jesus the Messiah, as a babe, is called the consolation or the paraklesis of Israel. So this is a very poignant term. This is the Word of God. And so he goes on and he says, the writer says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. And so paideos is the word here. So this particular word paideia or paideia is from the word pais, as I used earlier, which means a child. This word means is instruction by deed. B-E-E-D. Instruction by deed. It means, therefore it means act and discipline. Act and discipline. So you and I are in school. We are in God's academy. And God is teaching us the doctrine of obedience, not on a mere cognitive level, but on an experiential level. So that our souls will become galvanized. Our souls will be made strong. God's academy, God's school, is experiential. It is hands-on. Each individual has an individualized curriculum, because God knows where and how we need to be strengthened. And so he knows exactly how to build us up. Once again, God's school is experiential. We are in this, we are enrolled in the school of experiential suffering. So that we might grow up in Christ. Now, I am talking to those who are real believers, who are growing up in grace, God's unmerited favor, who know that they are loved by God. Now, notice in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. And so this is spiritual nurture involving discipline, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The word here for scourgeth is mastix, and it means whip. So the language can be uncomfortable, and it is uncomfortable language to hear. But that's exactly what God is dealing with in our lives, our sense of comfort. That he might replace our sense of comfort with the divine understanding, the divine understanding of comfort, the comfort that God wants us to experience in our lives. Now, I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul talks about the comfort of God. And beginning at verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all Paraclesios, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us, the Greek is ho parakleion, us upon all or in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort, parakleion, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see the language. Extraordinarily beautiful and powerful language. Not theory, it is not cognitive, it is the language of actuality. It is the language of concrete reality, of what God's work is, God is doing in our lives. What God is working out within our souls. God is taking out the spiritual dross, as it were, that we might become pure gold. Gold is ultimately purified with all the impurities taken off when it has a glass-like appearance. And so when God is through getting rid of the dross, the spiritual dross now, when he looks at us completely, he will see the gold of our faith. He will see the image of Christ in us, reflected back to him. And so notice the language that we are, that we might be partakers of this holiness. God is doing a marvelous work in you and me. Have a wonderful day, beloved. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.